parsha, of course, is Parshas Kisavo, and there is a fascinating discussion, at least to me what's fascinating, about the mitzvah that takes up the original section of Parshas Kisavo, and that is the mitzvah of Havaat Bikurim, of bringing the first fruits. And this mitzvah, of course, is very, very critical, very central. It's a fascinating mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that requires simcha. It's a mitzvah that has to be done in a very specific way. There was an entire ceremony. And even just before saying anything else, it's a great testimonial and a great instruction how we enjoy our first fruits. You know, the birth of a first child, the birth of a first grandchild, money that we may make, a purchase of a new home, you know, the perspective towards the acquisition of things and of milestones and of money, all that is informed by the parasha of Bikurim. So I want to talk for a few minutes about a specific detail of the parasha of Bikurim. The person brings the basket to Shalayim, and then the pasuk says, the Anisa, the Amarta, person steps up and he says, I'm very loudly, b'kol ram, in a loud voice. He says in front of God, and what does he say? Words that are familiar to us, A, of course, through the Torah, but maybe even more so through the Haggadah. The pasuk says, Arami oved avi, whatever those words mean, we'll discuss in a moment. And as a result, my forefather went down to Mitzrayim, and they lived there. He became a great nation. The Mitzrayim persecuted us. And then the pasuk continues, the Mitzvah of Hashem cried out to Hashem. The next pasuk is Hashem Mitzrayim, Hashem Mitzrayim, that brought us here. And then the next pasuk, which is pasuk is Yud, the Atta Hine Havetius Rashis Prihadama, after this whole history of my forefathers in Egypt and season time, now I am bringing the first fruits to Shalayim. So we have to go through this whole recap before bringing the Bikurim. Now this is so significant in and of itself. I want to address a question which is discussed by the Rishonim, namely, how in the world do we understand this initial pasuk of Arami Oved Avi? What does that mean? The Aramean lost my father? What's the pasuk talking about? So, of course, I asked the people on the phone call now, some people would say, yeah, this is speaking, of course, about Lavan. Lavan was the Aramean. The Aramean was a piece of current-day Eretz Yisrael. Oved Avi, he made my father lost, or he lost my father. My father here is clearly speaking about Yaakov, about Jacob. And as a result, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayogar Shamim Seimaat, etc., etc. So the Aramean, Lavan, lost, or did something, like disassociated himself, persecuted my father, and as a result, we went down to Mitzrayim. That is the Peshat. And of course, Peshat, we say in the Haggadah, right? Say Lamad, go and learn. Mam Bikesh Lavan Lazos, what does Lavan want to do? Lavan wants to dedicate everybody, as we have in the Pasuk, Arami Oved Avi. So the Chachmei HaMesorah, when they put together the Ashkenaz Adola, the Haggadah, they incorporated the Peshat of Rashi, that the Arami is Lavan. Now, what's wrong with Rashi's Peshat? So, this person is thinking about the words. The Ibn Ezra commented and said there are two things of Rashi's Peshat that doesn't make any sense. Number one is, it sounds like the person in question, the subject of the matter, i.e. Yaakov, went down to Mitzrayim because of Lavan. Right? Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayimah. It had nothing to do with it. What did Lavan's relationship or Lavan's persecution of Yaakov have to do with him going down to Mitzrayim? He went down to Mitzrayim because of the famine many, many years later. So that's problem number one, according to Ibn Ezra. And problem number two is, if you think about proper grammar, which Ibn Ezra was very interested in, it should be arami, and think about the word should be, oved avi, or arami me'aved, right? Oved sounds like a description, but it's not a poel. It's not an action that A is doing to B. It should be, you know, if I persecute you, it would be Yeshua Ma'abed or Yeshua Mashchit. It wouldn't be Yeshua Oved, right? So therefore, the Ibn Ezra said that this pshat in no way makes sense. So the Ibn Ezra has a totally different pshat. Namely, he says, Arami Oved Avi means my father, Yaakov, was a lost Aramean, meaning that he himself was impoverished. Oved here means, according to Ibn Ezra, means he didn't have any money. He was impoverished. And this is speaking about the famine. And as a result of that, he had to go down to Mitzrayim. And as a result of that, et cetera, et cetera. So the Aramean in question was not Lavan, but it was Yaakov. Arami Oved Avi. My father was a lost Aramean, and as a result, he went down to Mitzrayim. And that is the pshat of Ibn Ezra. And you should just know that the Maharal, in his commentary on Rashi, the Gur Aryeh, takes strong exception to Ibn Ezra, and he has a long piece explaining why Ibn Ezra's two questions on Rashi are in fact not questions. And the Maharal, as he often does, and the Gur Aryeh comes to the defense of Rashi. Okay, so you have the pshat of that Rashi, Arami is Lavan, Avi is Yaakov. The Pshat Ibn Ezra, that Arami Ovid Avi is one person. Speaking about Yaakov, who was a lost Aramean, he was an impoverished Aramean. The Rashbam, who is the person, Rashbam, of course, is Rashi's grandson. The Rashbam is famous for always being the most Pshat-oriented of all the Rishonim, always Pshat and Chumash. And he says that Arami Ovid Avi is not talking about Yaakov, that is speaking, in fact, about Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu was a lost Aramean. And lost means not that he was impoverished, but he had to wander. He was not connected to his parents. He had to go searching. He had to do all those things. So the Rashbam says again, and he only says a few words, Arami Ovid Avi, to speak about Avram, Arami Haya, Ovid the Golem Eretz Aram. He had to leave his land. He was told he had to leave his land. Avram, of course, is a person who was a journeyer. So this now is speaking about Avram. Now, just as a side note, or maybe just to understand the pshat of the Rashbam, so what does it mean when it says, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayogar Sham Bimtema At, Vayhi Sham Lagoy Gadol, Atzum Varav? Does that sound like it describes Avram Avinu? Did Avram become a great nation down in Mitzrayim? Was he there for many years? No, of course not. Avram didn't go to Mitzrayim, but he was there for a short period of time. So the way the Rashbam would have to learn the pasuk is, my father Avram was an Aramean, okay? And then Vayered Mitzrayma, not Avram, but his grandchild and his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren. Namely, so for Avram, the pasuk is a little bit disjointed. The first part is speaking about Avram as the Aramean, and the second part is saying that the Yered Mitzrayim does not mean Avram, but means the later generations. So people point out in the Rashbam that that's not really sort of the Pasha Pshat. The Pasha Pshat of the pasuk would seem to be that it's Yaakov. Yaakov was the lost poor Aramean. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov became a great nation, etc., etc. Now, if that is the case, then what makes the Rashbam say that this is Avram? Why can't the Rashbam adopt the pshat of Ibn Ezra, namely that this pasuk is talking about Yaakov? Why does he have to go all the way back two generations beforehand to Avram Avinu? Now, on the one hand, you can say maybe that's pshat, and there's reasons to say that the pasuk pshat is that it's talking about Avram. But perhaps one can also say that the Rashbam, in his own way, and maybe the Rashbam himself doesn't mean this, is teaching an enormous, enormous lesson and a mussar and a point of hashkafa, of ideology, of how we view the mitzvah of Bikurim. Now, this might be true according to anybody's pshat, but it's most felt to me by the idea of the Rashbam, namely that when a person has a blessing in their life, a person has a child getting married. Now, a person who is superficial, they only think about their daughter or their son or who's paying for Marina and who's getting the dress and also the words of wedding itself. But a person who's an Adam Gadol says, wait one second. You know, my grandfather grew up in Krakow or in Hungary or in Russia, and they came to this country with nothing. And 2-3 generations later, there's a child who's getting married and is connected to Torah, and it's a Jewish wedding, you're marrying a Jew, and there's money for a wedding. A person who's not in Gottel can stand there at those moments of his life and look back, and not just look back a year, but they'll sort of look back to sort of the history of their family, of where they've come from, and all the circumstances that have led up towards this moment. And the Rashbam perhaps is saying that same idea so beautifully. When a farmer comes to Shalayim with a basket in his hand, thousands of years later, his obligation at that moment is to look all the way back to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu's struggles, and who Yitzchak was, and Yitzchak's miraculous life, and Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov going down to Eretz Mitzrayim, and how he even got out of it. I mean, to look all the way back in one's life. And what an enormous sense of hakaras hatov, what an enormous sense of appreciation that comes out of that feeling. And what a different life that is. It's a different life of seeing everything in our life and every gift in the larger context and all the people involved in our life to get us to this point. And that's a life of shefa. That's a life of overflow. And that idea is further highlighted, and with this I'll conclude, by the Sefer HaChinuch and this mitzvah. Sefer HaChinuch says, why do I have to come and make a declaration? Arami ovedavi, v'anitzav amarta. We went out to Mitzrayim, and then we were there for a while, and we came out, and we did this. I mean, who cares? Go there, bring the Bikurim. Sometimes it's best to say little. Why do you have to go through a whole speech? I was speaking to a Talmud this week, and we're talking about perhaps some of the issues he has with public speaking. And he says, it's not important, I'll never have to speak publicly. And I said, that's a mistake. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a mouth and knowledge and wisdom so that at big moments of your life, at your birth of a child or at your kid's Sheva Brachos or by friends or weddings or Sheva Brachos, that you can get up and speak and be able to express emotion, express feeling. And why is that important? Because Sefer HaChinuch said that we understand from this mitzvah the roshem, the impact, the impression that is left on a person when he verbalizes those feelings. A person can go ahead and bring Bikurim, but it doesn't mean as much until he can come and say, wait a second, I'm bringing these Bikurim, but let me spend time reflecting on where these Bikurim come from, the history of my family. Person can have a child who gets married, but how much more meaningful it is a person can get up and speak about that sense of hakaras hatov and that sense of God's overflow. A person can have a great marriage. But how much more meaningful it is on a person's consciousness and psyche when a person can verbalize those feelings towards his spouse or towards others. That's what the Chinuch says. The Chinuch says that this idea, this whole long Vidoy, this whole long discussion we put in is for us to have that sense of appreciation, and that again is further highlighted by the Rashbam of saying that we have to go all the way back to Avraham Avinu. The mission of all of us can appreciate the gifts in our life, appreciate the gifts in the current, but also appreciate the history of how we got to where we are in our lives and all the people that were involved in that. Not just to feel those feelings, but the Chinuch says to recognize the necessity of verbalizing those feelings. And by doing that, we can live a life of a constant sense of the Hava'as Bikurim, the bringing of the first fruits, and the connection to the Kodesh Baruch Hu that comes about through the bringing of and the declaration over those very same first fruits. Thank you so much for calling. I wish you have a wonderful Shabbos, and look forward again to speaking in the Yirtzeh Hashem next Thursday this time. Bye-bye.